We're in our 8 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. It is time for the wake-up call. You can call us at 404-726-0929. And as we discuss, if you want to weigh in on what the Falcons need to do during their bye week, we heard Kirk Cousins saying they need to have some conversations. You heard Raheem Morris talk about how they need to maybe do some things with the scheme. You can give us a call and give us your thoughts right here on the wake-up call.
Yeah.
I have a wake-up call for myself.
Uh-oh.
But not involving sports, but kind of sports travel. I was boarding in Fort Lauderdale to come home from my game on Sunday, and I waited far away from the line. And so they're calling the zones. They're calling people that need extra assistance. They're calling military. And then they say zone one. So no, I see no movement. So I walk, you know, right up, and as I'm already up, there's not really a lot of people behind me, but then there's this older couple, and this old, grumpy old man is talking some stuff. He's like,
uh-oh.
I guess she thinks she's important. I guess that's one way to do it. Have your earbuds in and then just walk to the front of the line. So I'm sitting here like,
this is going
to
be me.
So I took my headphones off, and I said, do you have something to say to me?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
And he was like, well, you know, we were all waiting in line. I was like, what are you? So pause there. I don't know if they're, I'm out of it, right? I get worked up on game days. I didn't eat breakfast, barely ate anything, run around in 80 degree weather. So I don't know if there's a line or not, but I didn't see movement. I walked right up. So he's like, well, she called military. I was like, sir, she called military. And then she said zone one. He still wanted to argue with me. Mm-hmm. He's arguing on the way down the jet bridge. I'm already outstriding him because he is a grumpy old man.
And you have a long gait.
And he is still saying, so he still says stuff. And I turn around and I was like, you have a great flight. He's like, no, you have a great flight. I'm talking to my wife. I was like, all right, whatever, bro. So I got on the flight. So then I start thinking, I'm like, did I, being in the state that I was in, just like oblivious, did I just walk in front? You know, you don't see the line. Like, so I'm like, did I actually do that?
Yeah.
I don't know if I did or not, but I was not with the you-know-whats that day. And an old man almost got told some things in line. So,
well, how did his wife react? Because normally
she didn't say anything. So you already know what kind of old man he is. He probably does this all the time. He's probably grumpy all the time. The wife probably didn't say like, "Oh, Jim, be quiet."
You're making quite a leap here to just think that this guy's always like that.
When I'm saying when it's a couple like that, usually like I could see my mom be like, "Don, you know, zip it, Don, whatever." But you could tell this grumpy old man probably is grumpy majority of the time.
Man,
but I'm not a jerk. I usually am the last one to board in my zone because I'm in no rush to try to get my stuff up. It's going to make it.
Yeah. Well,
so, but I could have been oblivious yesterday trying to get home. So if you're on that flight out there, let me know.
I was going to say, I wonder if we can find security
cameras. I don't know. Let me know. Was I that guy that just rolled up with big headphones on and just walked in? I'm in Fort Lauderdale.
I know. So where's the gate? People, we can find out. I might know people in Fort Lauderdale.
D7 or something.
See, here's the problem. First off, people, I hate this. This is my pet peeve in flying.
The worst part about flying.
Is people,
that's why I hate traveling.
Even when you're getting close to boarding time, people run up
exactly.
And surround the gate. So you don't know who the hell is what, when's
but
what.
But that's not my play. I don't want to be
understand.
Anywhere near anybody.
But I understand. But,
you said you boarded in zone one.
I do, but yeah. I never just stand up there and congregate.
But
because I get a text on my phone or I'm paying attention to see, okay, it's lit up and I'll get to the end of the line in zone one.
And this is my defense of you, is that people do that. So when you walk up and you hear your zone called, you have no clue where the line starts, where it doesn't start. You just walk up and you're trying to get on because your zone has been called. So it create because these people that have to stand there like a bunch of dum-dums, you create that issue where Tiffany doesn't know where the line is. I understand that. Not to mention, the airport brings out the worst in a human being. So this guy's already angry. He's in the airport. He has no clue what's going on. He
Grandpa,
probably can't even hear the zones.
Grandpa, you were slow.
I take up with Tiffany here.
Grandpa, like, Gramps, you were slow. I'm sorry. She said military.
I got Tiff's back.
Nobody moved. She said zone one. Hey. I proceed to board. Sorry.
Not your fault.
Sorry,
it's honestly not your fault.
I was gonna say. Don't talk about Joe Burrow's outfit, but if Tiffany wants to call this slow grandpa geriatric, we could definitely go there.
It clearly could have been me, but
I did talk about Joe Burrow's outfit and this old man.
Had he approached it differently or something? Because my bells didn't go off because I was like, well, man, I'm never first. Was I actually first in line to board? But there are people ahead of me. I don't really know what was going on. Again,
This is all I want to say before we get the phone line. The real enemy here is the airline. Okay, the real enemy is the airline. You know why everybody crowds? Because they don't want to get their bag checked or put under the airplane.
Yes.
They want the overhead bin, right? And that's the real enemy in this entire thing is they
this
crowd
is
up because they want to get first crack at the overhead bin.
This is true. Yeah. You don't want to check your bag.
So, my wife and I have the conversation. It's not me versus her. It's us versus the kids. You know what I mean? Like, when we go to travel, it's like, you're not the enemy. They are. All right, make sure we keep that in sight.
So I just had to get that off my chest.
I'm glad you did.
Hope he was listening this morning. Maybe not, because he's not a happy person. All right, let's go to the lines.
You listen to me.
Squid Billy in Dallas, Georgia. Good morning.
Morning, everybody. Morning, Elder Squid.
Sir?
When it comes to airplanes and airports, the stand-up comedian Brian Regan has a great bit on that whole situation. I would YouTube it, give it a listen. He's hilarious, one of my favorites.
Love it.
When it comes to the Falcons, I will be happy with going 500 in this last stretch, getting a winning season under the belt. I wanted 11 wins coming into this season. I think that's still possible, but it's going to be hard work to do that. But I'm still pleased with the team. Obviously, some disappointments along the way, but pleased overall. Love the show, you guys.
Yeah, thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
I think I'm right there. I think with what I saw this past weekend, I would be pleased with 500. I would have had my sights set higher. Specifically, if you could have beat the Saints, it would feel different. But I think you look at this last stretch and just beat the teams you're supposed to and stay in a fight with teams that should be tough games.
Yeah, I think 10 wins the division. I know that everybody's talking about Tampa's getting somewhat healthy and they've got a weak schedule. Still the NFL. You still got to play games. Weird things happen. Go get 10 wins and see where the pieces fall. That's to me, you need to win. You need to go 4-2 in this 6-game stretch.
Be tough.
It is going to be tough, but guess what? That's what you got to do. You got to do it. You got to make the playoffs.
Let's go back to the lines. We have Ramil waiting on us. Good morning.
What's up?
Good morning, guys.
What's going on?
I got a wake-up call for the defensive line, man. Sometimes watching the game when we're on defense, like watching 7-on-7 drills. Mm. It's kind of horrible to watch this time. I'm hoping these last games that these go 500.
Oh, man. You're so spot on, man. And I think that we've had this conversation, and it's like I am the last person, I feel like, when we talk about this, I'm the last person on this radio station who wants to ever talk about effort. Like, effort is such a – I don't know why, but effort gets me, right? Effort is one of those things that just gets in my crawl when people say, well, they're not giving good effort. It just feels like that at times. And we talked about the screen game yesterday from Denver and the lack of ability from our defense line to retrace their steps and get out into the flat and make plays. A lot of times that's effort. I think that's why you've seen – and we saw it a couple weeks ago. That's why you've seen D'Angelo Malone get on the field a little bit more, right? That's why you've seen, and due to injuries, Brandon Dorlus get in the rotation. It's clear to me that Raheem wants effort from that position right now, and I don't know that we're getting it at maximum to the maximum extent at all times.
All right, let's go to DJ on the line. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, y'all. How y'all doing?
What's up, buddy?
Oh, none. Good, good, good. Hey, me and my wife recently just went up to Blue Ridge and saw the statue of Early Squid Billy up there, and she's very happy about that.
Yes! I love it.
I think that the Falcons need to, because of the age of pretty much the average age of every Falcons player, grew up watching Denzel Washington being Coach Boone and leading the Titans to a state championship. Why don't they just hire Denzel to come in there and give the team a pep talk? I think that this is the time to do that on the bye week and really rally the troops to the end of the year. Thanks, guys.
It's funny. I was telling that story the other day to Bo about how when Rise Up, I'm drawing a blank.
Samuel L.
When Samuel L. was brought in to do the Rise Up live in person, that nobody even knew what was going on. Like, they were like, man, this is really going to get the crowd going. And they tried to hide him in a security jacket and walk into midfield. And, like,
I remember that.
It was too hidden. People were like, why is the security guard on the big screen yelling, rise up? And it was like nobody even caught on to it. So I don't know that Denzel would crack a difference.
Can Denzel or Coach Boone bring his DC with him and we blitz all night? And then remember the night they played the Falcons instead of the Titans? You know?
Well, maybe the Falcons together during their bye, we can get together and watch that movie. We'll find out what they really are going to try to accomplish during the bye when we hear from the quarterback, Kirk Cousins, next on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are back here on the Morning Shift, and the Falcons are headed into the bye week. So we had some folks call in during our wake-up call to try to figure out what this team could change or maybe improve during their bye.
You know what's strange, Tiff, is I'm a very positive person, I feel like, when it comes to my sports teams, and I know Bo is too. I feel like Bo has me beat here, though. I feel like this is one of those – I don't think normally we've approached this way. But I think you've got me beat on this one, where you were talking about calling for 4-2 and you need to get that done. I'm struggling a lot more with that based on what we saw this past couple of weeks. So I want to err on the side of what you're thinking, not mine.
Well, look, I can hope and wish, and I'm more positive than people give me credit for.
I agree with that.
I really am.
No, I agree. I'm a very Tiff's laughing, but.
But I'm a very positive, just because I'm very blunt and realistic at times about stuff doesn't mean that I'm not a positive outlook human being.
I agree.
And I look at this and I see Chargers and Vikings. I think you can, all right, let's put it this way then. Let's go through this. If you're a playoff team and you've got playoff caliber roster and a playoff coaching staff that knows how to win games, you should beat on November 19th, as we say, and you should beat the Raiders, the Giants, and the Panthers.
Sure.
You should win those games.
Yes.
I don't want to hear, but they did this. What about the set? No. We're having a hypothetical conversation. You should win those three games. Okay? Everybody agree?
Yeah. No, I think that that's fair.
Okay. So you're telling me then that you can't steal one game from the Chargers, Vikings, or Commanders. You're telling me that we're so bad now after two straight losses, the first time you've lost two straight games under the Raheem Morris era. I know it's only 11 games in. All that. You're telling me that you can't steal a game from a flawed Commanders, a flawed Chargers, or a flawed Vikings team. Because if not, you're telling me those teams are absolutely perfect in every way, shape, or form. You can't match up with them. Because I think you have areas where you're better than them if you play, coach, and execute like it.
No, and I agree with you. And I think where my skepticism and what you just said comes from is right before what you said those are three teams we should beat. I think those three teams are all looking at the Falcons much in the way you just said we should be looking at Washington.
We can steal one.
We can if we need to go out there and steal one, we can get the Falcons. They're not very good.
I don't give a...
I know. And that's my whole point of this entire thing is usually I feel like I try to bring the vibes in and all that. And I look at that and go, they're thinking the same thing about us.
I choose, Tiffany's going to chuckle and heckle me after this. I choose to be happy in life, not like wallow in misery, right?
Right.
I don't choose to have negative outlooks about every single thing. I'm real about stuff. And the real tells me that my roster is better than Vegas. My roster is better than New York's, and my roster is better than Carolina's. I don't think my roster is worse than the Chargers. Not offensively, for sure.
Right.
Defensively, yeah, you can make that argument.
Yeah.
Certain parts of it, anyways. Washington got some really good players. So do I. So do we. You know, my running back room is better than Washington's. Sorry, Bijan Robinson is a top three running back in the NFL.
That's a tough running back room to pick on up there right now.
I'm not picking on their running back room. I'm just saying mine is better. And it might be by nose hair, but it's better. Because I've got one of the best running backs in the league. They've got some good running backs. And you can, if you want to add Jaden Daniels, that's fine.
Brian Robinson and Eckler, pretty good.
I'll take Bijan Robinson over both of them.
I think that's fair, but you just said the room.
Yeah, well,
Algier and Bijan over Robinson and Eckler. I mean, I think that's fair.
Yeah, I would.
It's more of a coin flip than I think you're giving it credit for, but
Okay, well, we need to stop going in with this defeatist-ass attitude. Because as a fan base, we go into that, and I don't want to hear, well, they're pretty good too. No, we're better.
I think that I'm just...
we're better.
And that's the thing. That's why I brought up this entire conversation. I just feel like there's a little... I just have more... For whatever reason, right now, I feel like I'm leaning towards being more realistic than I am positive.
You know, it's not positive. We're better. We have... Bijan Robinson is better than any running back they put on the field.
Being positive is the opposite of having a defeatist attitude.
What? You're not being positive.
I know. You just said I'm having a defeatist attitude. I said positivity is the opposite of that.
Yeah, I know.
I don't... Yeah.
But the reality is we could, we know this city and the fans in this city could go for a little bit of confidence every once in a while.
But my point is you can't blame them. Just go back to last year.
But stop. It's not last year. It's not the same coaching staff. It's not the same quarterback. There's players that are different. I understand the history. No one understands. You and I know this. I've been traveling with this team since 2012. I understand what happens. But what... Would it hurt us to have a little bit of positivity in some situations? Well, I'm not saying go buy playoff tickets. I'm saying, I have a little bit of confidence and not have this defeatist attitude. Same old Falcons. We don't know that. This is the first time we went into a bye week with Raheem.
We do not know that. And this team has played incredibly well at times. And I think that possibility definitely still exists to be able to find a rhythm and be able to knock out going 4-2. Or better in the rest of the game. I don't blame anybody who feels downtrodden about it after what we've seen the last couple
of
weeks.
Okay, so if you're single at 25 or 26 years old, does every time you're in a relationship, you go, well, I mean, this is nice, but it'll end. Sure it'll end badly. I'm sure she'll probably cheat on me or something, or I'll screw it up. And
that's such a random pivot right there.
Well, really, so do you just not approach girls anymore or guys because you're single at 26 and every relationship you've had has failed? Or do you keep going, you know what? I'm going to give it a try.
Number too, 26. Randomness. But I get what you're going.
Let me tell you why I said 26. Because if I said 40, you'd have been like, what, are you taking a shot at me? What does that mean? So I didn't want to go there. I didn't want to make it seem like I was taking a shot at anybody. That's all.
Hey, sorry, Bo. I know you're cooking, man. I'm gonna let you cook.
Oh man, I don't think cooking's the word. I just I keep going back to we had all the same conversations a year ago, and I know it's a different.
I wouldn't take it as a shot. I'm very.
I was just
happy.
Making sure you wouldn't. I didn't want you to think or anybody that's tweet me and be like, why are you taking shots at people that are 40 and single? And I was like, well, I'll just go 25. I don't know. I was trying to.
Very fulfilled. All right. Continue. Continue.
Well, I didn't want anyone to perceive I was taking shots. That's all.
Anyways, to get the awkwardness out of the conversation really quick. Last year we had the same conversation too. And I sat here and I talked about who are the better quarterbacks that we're facing down the stretch. And the ones that we thought were the worst ones ended up being the ones that got us. And that's what's frustrating about it. And I just think that I'm with you, and I like what you're doing because I want to continue to have that attitude. But we're 48 hours removed from what we saw in Denver, and I'm just still struggling with it, man. And so that's kind of where I'm at right now. And hopefully, given a bye week, maybe I can have a mental reset and hit the ground running after Thanksgiving, get a little belly full, and talk about some good Falcons football and some wins.
Well, we got to go in as fans, too. We need to show up at the Chargers game in 2 weeks or 11, 13 days, whatever it is.
Right.
Or 12 days and, support. I mean, they're not an easy team to play. They got a really good defense. They're up and down offensively. They have halves where they're phenomenal and they have halves where they're not. But I just can't stand defeatist attitudes. Have some confidence in yourself. Have some confidence in your team. I know what the last 60 years or,
2 weeks
is been like. And the last 2 weeks has looked a lot more like the last 60 years, give or take, than it's not. But, I don't know. Have some positivity. Let's have some faith. Let's hope we can get it done. Let's just not say, "Well, we suck."
It's not going to stop me from cheering. I'll say that, and I'll leave it right there. It's not going to stop me from cheering.
I mean, sorry, so. If I'm positive. Sorry, I want to believe, not you, but to the greater people. I'm not sitting here saying, "Well, season's over. We suck. Panic button. Blow it up. Do this." I mean, I just don't live my life like that. I like to live in positive and be happy. And when we are either eliminated from the playoffs or whatever it is, then I'll say that we're done. But until then,
start draft season.
Don't even start with that crap. I don't even want to hear.
You only got about, I don't know, 2 months.
No, I don't want to hear a mock draft.
Mock every day,
dude. I did a show into my hair. I was doing a show years and years ago, and we were like 2-4 or something. Like, well, let's start talking about the mock draft. I was like, have fun, brother, because I'm not.
This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. What you got for Life of Squid?
I got an update on my roommate.
Squirrelgate?
My roommates. And the NBA tonight, I believe is what they call it. Is that the NBA on TNT show? It's NBA tonight, right? Inside the NBA.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's continuing. I'll tell you where next. Morning Shift, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And?
The Odyssey app.
Back here on the Morning Shift on the, what do you call this? Like the morning eve of the college football.
On the verge.
Playoff rankings.
On the verge of the rankings tonight.
That's what, yeah. They'll be dropped tonight.
Morning eve is good too.
Morning eve, I can say that.
I like
sure,
that.
We'll go with it.
I won't tell you not to.
All right. Well, we got Heather Dinich of ESPN, their college football insider. She put out her top 25 college football playoff predictions ahead of tonight's rankings being revealed. So I'll give you the top 12 here, which are 1, Oregon, 2, Ohio State, 3, Texas, 4, Penn State, 5, Indiana, Notre Dame at 6, 7, Miami, Alabama 8, Ole Miss 9, Georgia 10, Tennessee at 11, and Boise State at 12.
Yeah, I think there's just going to be a lot of eyeballs on how far Tennessee falls, how far Georgia jumps, and where does that leave Alabama and Ole Miss right there in the middle. Remember, just a refresher, last week you had 8-1, Tennessee at 7, with Georgia at 12, which would have left them out of the CFP, and you had Bama at 10, Ole Miss at 11 right in front of them. With Georgia winning against Tennessee, are they able to jump up in front of Alabama? I tend to think probably. I tend to think that's probably going to happen because, remember, Bama lost to Tennessee and Georgia beat them pretty good. And how far does Tennessee fall? Do they fall behind Alabama? And that's another question that will be answered later on tonight.
Well, head-to-head is not the only thing that matters. And I think that's what people are coming to the realization of, is because, yes, Tennessee will fall behind Alabama because Alabama looked impressive against LSU on the road. And they beat a... a 9-1 Mercer team.
Yeah, there you go.
So,
yeah.
So, and Tennessee just lost by 14 on the road. Yeah. And so, you know,
don't forget Ole Miss is at 11 right now, and you're probably going to get Georgia. I would have to think Georgia jumps ahead of them.
I don't think they
lost 2 weeks ago.
I don't think they do. I think Ole Miss will stay above them.
It's just so
I'm okay with
man.
That.
It's so hard because all four of these teams have beaten one another. I think the only two teams that you can't say that about Alabama hasn't played Ole Miss.
But that's why you look at the recency, and I think Ole Miss just didn't Ole Miss have a bye week?
After the
Georgia game?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. So, I mean, it's a very late bye, but I don't recall them playing anybody last week. So the last time I've seen them, they were beating Georgia by 18 points. So how can I drop them below Georgia? What has Georgia done?
Beat Tennessee.
Yeah, but... 2 weeks? I mean, not even 2 weeks. 10 days ago, Ole Miss drubbed that team.
Yeah.
On at home. So, I can't say that they jumped.
I honestly have no idea.
But I don't think it matters.
I don't think
it matters right now.
I was going to say, strictly as a Bama guy, I look at this and wonder how far Bama, if Georgia and Tennessee are in front of Alabama. And because I think the College Football Playoff Committee does this, where they go, hey, Bama might play in the SEC title game later. And I think that will be a big indicator of whether or not a 3-loss whoever loses SEC title game can stay in the playoffs.
Well, the only way that Georgia could miss the playoff, to me, is if they went out their last two games. The only way that Georgia could lose out on the playoff is if they played Alabama in the SEC championship game and they lost again. That's the only way I could see them.
They would be out of it if they lost Georgia Tech.
I just said assuming they win their last two games.
Okay.
Which means they would beat Georgia Tech.
Okay.
But, you know. But
is that okay?
That's the only way.
A little sassy.
That's the only way to me, because they would have lost to the same team twice. once at home, I mean, once on the road and once on the neutral field. And I think they would say, well, we don't want to see these two teams play a third time, potentially. Right. Even in a national title game, we think that's not what we would want to see. And that, because it is, and that's something I agree with Mike and Carl on Dukes and Bell say all the time, this is still a TV product. Yeah, this is still a TV production in a lot of ways.
I am curious, the next curiosity for me was how far Georgia jumps in this ranking, and is there a possibility of them hosting in round one? That's the next question I think that'll be out there. Because you've got all these teams in this mismatch, and you know that there's going to be Big Ten teams that eventually fall. Indiana's at 5. They'll have to play. They're kind of in the same situation where they'll have to play a conference championship game.
I think there's a way, and I don't know exactly how it plays out, but I think there's a way that Indiana could lose this weekend to Ohio State and still play in the Big Ten championship game against Oregon, which means Ohio State would be sitting at home, and they could also be one of the final top four, but they would be not knocked down to 5 or 6 or 7 and get a bye, right?
Yeah.
Or a home playoff game, I mean. Not a bye, but a home playoff game.
Yeah.
And so that could happen.
If you're a Georgia fan, you go into, Bloomington? You going to make that trip? If that was the matchup?
I think some Georgia fans would. I think Georgia fans would be like, dude, how often am I going to get to go to Bloomington? Like,
Else would I ever go to Bloomington?
Yeah, let's go see a game.
I'm with you.
It might be more appealing, Jeff, if they said, we're going to go to the Horseshoe and play Ohio State.
I know plenty of Bama fans that would make that trip for sure. So it'd be interesting to see how that all plans out.
The question is Indiana get in if they lose to Ohio State, still make somehow the world revolves where they somehow still make the conference championship game and then lose that?
Yeah.
Do they get in the playoff altogether? Because, I mean, hell, they're a two-loss team. They lost to the two best teams they played. Do they deserve to be in the playoff? Do they? Their schedule is garbage as is. Do they deserve to be in the playoff? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, don't worry about it, Georgia fans. If you're below Ole Miss, it doesn't matter because Florida's going to beat them this weekend. That's right. Don't forget the Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic is November 25th, which is
6 days.
Yeah. Do we know how many hours? 6 days and 6 days, 1 hour and 10 and a half minutes.
144 hours.
Because it's a 10 a.m. shotgun. Go over to the 99 Game website, events page, and find out ways to be a part of the Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic. Appreciate all the sponsors that have joined us, and it is for pets for vets. So, I told you guys that I had a house, a new roommate, maybe multiple, and I thought that it was time to evict them. They will not be squatters in Casa de Squidbilly.
Yeah.
So, what?
The Squidbilly villa.
Yeah. So, yeah. I had Mr. Horner come out, and he proofed it where they can't get in.
Rodent proofed your home.
So, last night, I'm sitting downstairs in my little office, and Amy goes, hey, she says, hey, come here. You can hear the squirrel. The squirrel's trying to get in. And it kind of hurt my heart a little
bit. Made you sad a little bit?
Made me a little sad.
Was it cold?
Because I went up there, and I could hear.
Oh.
In the corner of the house, you could hear.
Yeah.
And then it would be like.
Stash, like, nuts there.
There's got to be plenty of nuts around. He wanted warmth.
Yeah, there's plenty of nuts in the yard. So then I go, oh, I feel kind of bad. Like, you know, he's trying to get home. And then Amy goes,
up the front door.
And he goes, well, he's got a tree he can live in. And so then she goes, well, what if the babies are in there? And I said, well, first off, we didn't find any. And second, kind of parent leaves her kid on
how do you get food?
Animals do it all the
for 28 hours? I mean, holy crap, we had it squirrel proofed at like 10 a.m. Sunday morning, and this mother gonna show up Monday night at like 9 o'clock.
Bad squirrel parent.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Tell you, I'm gonna call defects on that squirrel because they ain't tending to their children properly. But remember, my dad rescues squirrels sometimes, so maybe I'll go out there and find them. I'm taking my dad. But anyways, so and then Amy goes, well, what if they left something in there? Or she goes, what if they're cold? And I said, well, they got a tree they can live in. And she was like, you're a jerk. I was like, well, that's what you said to me.
It'll be fine.
Yeah. So it. But we did. You could hear the squirrel trying to get in. So I guess it worked.
Poor squirrel. All right, we're going to find out what's coming up on the Steakhouse next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.